Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. This is some work that I'd reported previously a couple of years ago. That was a sort of a preliminary investigation, so we actually concluded the investigation, so I'm going to give you the results. There's been a lot of talk about what happens in the ginning process, so I'm not going to talk about that in this presentation. I don't want to flog a dead horse too much, so I'm really going to concentrate on the textile processing side. So the introduction, I'm not really going to go through it too much. You can read it yourself. I'm sure you're aware of it. But I would like to just get you to focus on the last point. The Australian cotton currently is considered the number one cotton, least contaminated cotton in the world, of which we're very proud. And as Matthew has said, we do get the 5 US cents per pound premium, of which basically sustains our industry. That together with the yields basically makes our industry compatible. But as I've said, the least contaminated. No cotton in the world is uncontaminated. Every single bale in the world is contaminated to some degree. And I think that's important to take note of. So the background, we all know the background. In Australia, we were fortunate. The round module bales started arriving at our gins in 2008 without much warning. And our ginners looked at that and thought, what the hell are we going to do with this? I see that you're in a similar position. We are 99% round module now. And all the pain that you are going through is we have gone through and still going through. So I wish you luck with that. I will say that the John Deere equipment and also the wrap from an engineering point of view are actually very good. Especially the wrap, I mean, engineering-wise, it's very well put together. The problem is, it's still plastic. That is the main concern. So what does this mean? I did this little calculation for the Australian industry, and I thought I'd just do a little synopsis for you, just in case you hadn't sort of done this before. I'm sure you have. Considering a 16 million bale crop in the US, considering a 50% uptake of round modules, that means you will produce 2 million round modules a year. One round module wrap is 3.8 kilos, which means that you'll be introducing into your cotton production pipeline 7.6 million kilos of plastic. Each round module wrap is 21 meters, so that means you'll introduce 42 millimeters of plastic into your production pipeline. Even if you say that only 1.1% of that will get into the gin, that's still 760 kilos or 4,200 meters of plastic that will go into your production pipeline. The question that I pose to the Australian industry, and I'll pose to you as well, is what the hell were we thinking? And it's very good to see, and all the funds that are being done is to remediate this problem. There's no funding is put in place to actually look at get rid of the plastic completely, which is interesting. Right, so the aim. You know, we all can acknowledge that despite all our best efforts, some plastic will get into the, in Australia, since we don't have a domestic cotton industry anymore, into our export bales. And we wanted to see what happens in the textile mill. We had a forum of some spinners here, and it was interesting to hear their comments, and we did something similar. So, a couple of years ago, a couple of the gins had a contamination issue, and they decided that what they were going to do is they were going to employ a few people, they were going to break open these bales, and they were going to manually take out the plastic. Hiring 4 people and going through 1 bale a week very quickly made them decide it was going to take over a year to remove this plastic, so they decided rather to sell these bales as moat bales and get rid of them. Fortunately, they did quite a few bales, and really what we came across is that between 4 to 8 grams of plastic was found in the bales, and there is examples of what 4 grams, 6 grams, and 8 grams of plastic looks like. So what we did was we took these samples and we actually on purposely contaminated bales in the gin. So we threw the pieces in the lint slide, in the battery condenser, into the bale, then we bought these bales and took it to our mill in CSRO, in Geelong. So the first trial was to see where does the most of the plastic gets removed in a spinning mill. So in a spinning mill, we have basically the beginning of the spinning mill, we have what we call a blow room and a card. So in ginning terms, it's probably seed cotton cleaning and a lint cleaner, say. And similarly as in the gin, all the trash that gets removed goes into the filtration. And so what we did was we connected the machines up on the extraction points into this big vacuum cleaner, as you can see, and we actually collected all the trash that was removed during that process there. So this is what it looks like. For one bale, we produced 23 cans of saliva, which you can see there, and one of those cans is 9 kilos. And on your left, you can see the trash that was removed during that time. And so what we got is we got technicians to basically to go through that waste and try and find as much plastic as we could find. And here is the results. Not too concerned about the amount of waste, but just look at the plastic. From there, we discovered that the carding machine, which is the lint cleaner in your language, removes the most of the plastic. And this bale was 8 grams of plastic was introduced in this bale, and we managed to find 3.3 grams of that. So less than 42% was extracted in the first thing. And there on your right at the top there, that is what the amount of plastic that was extracted during the 9 kilos of sliver. And at the bottom here, you can see some examples of what that actually looks like. So 42% of the plastic is removed during the first stage. But what happens during the rest of the stage? It still has to go through the spinning and so forth. So the next trial, we took a bale of 6 grams and we put it through our 3 spinning systems, the ring spinning system, carded, combed, and also rotor spinning. We knitted it in a single jersey. This is all commercial-based scale. We dyed it. We inspected it. And also just want to make the point is that this mill doesn't have any foreign fiber detection. A lot of the mills in the world do have foreign fiber detection, but a lot of them don't. So the whole object was to see as how much is removed without foreign fiber detection. So this is just a little photo of the mill. On your top left is the bale opener, which basically is the module feeder in your language, the carding machine, and then we have the drawing machine, the combing machine, the ring spinning, the winding, the open end, the knitting machine, and then the dyeing, and then we have the inspection table there. So this inspection table has got a light behind it, and so with the grayed fabric, the undyed fabric, we'd inspected first with 2 very, very experienced operators. Then we would mark it. There's a meter, so we'd mark everywhere where we found the plastic, and then we'd dyed, and then we'd inspect it again. So this fabric was also not only inspected visually, but also by touch to try and feel it to see whether we could find it. And these are the results. Not that whole bale was useless. We did some other stuff as well, but this is the results, and it's quite disturbing in a way. So for the rotor spinning, which is a big proportion of the American cotton goes in rotor spinning, but you can read there it was 203 meters. The ring spun card was 132 and 114. So if you look at the total plastic pieces in the grade, so that's the undyed. So in 200 meters, we found 20, so we looked at the fabric, it's a circular knitter, so we looked at both sides of the fabric. They found 20, 7, and 11. And then when we dyed the fabric, there you can see that there was a 240% increase from the undyed to the dyed. And that is what the gentleman from the textile processing was saying yesterday, is that you really only find this contamination once you've actually dyed it into fabric, or even if once you've made it into a T-shirt or a garment. And then there's a cost. If it's a denim fabric, it doesn't matter if you have a few yellow and white dots in it, maybe. But if you've got a $250 Pierre Cardin shirt, I'm sure you don't want a bit of plastic right above your pocket. And there's a price to be paid for this. The garment manufacturer will lay a claim to the fabric manufacturer. The fabric manufacturer will lay a claim to the spinner. The spinner will put a claim to the merchant. And that's one of the big problems that we have at this time. And it's the same in Australia. There are claims made to the merchants, and the merchants settle the claims, and it doesn't go any further. And, you know, in Australia, we talk to the ginners about plastic contamination. You know, we've had round modules now for 12 years. You talk to them about plastic contamination, they say, well, we've never had a complaint before. She's sweet, and it's true. So there's a lot of responsibility there on the merchant side as well. Anyway, so there you can see the grade, so the undyed fabric. You can see the pieces of plastic, and I don't know if you can see the little measurements there. They're very, very small, 2 millimeter. And very interesting at the bottom, the Tamo wrap has got three components. It's got the beige, then it's got the yellow, and then it's got the translucent as well, which is actually the sticky part. And if you look at the photo at the bottom to your left on the blue, you'll see that all three those components are there. The translucent one is the third one, the middle one is the yellow one, and then on the side is the beige one. So all parts of the wrap actually does get through to the spinning and to the knitting process if you don't have the contamination. And so there you can see plastic pieces per 100 meters for the dyed fabric, 34 for the rotor spinning, 21 for the carded, and 45 for the combed. Now the combed is supposed to be the high quality. That's the, you know, the Pima and all that stuff is combed. And there you have the most. Because in the comb process you have a lot more combs and beatings and so forth going on, which just makes the plastic smaller and smaller and makes it harder and harder to differentiate. So it's a massive, massive problem once it gets into the spinning wheel. So, conclusion. Look, as we've shown it, you know, if plastic enters the gin, it can have disastrous consequences further down the line. On the third point is it's the size, and I can't even say how you pronounce it, but it's less than 0.4 zeros and 2 grams, whatever that is. It's something small, right? And also the color, there's no doubt that, you know, it's very small, and also the color, the beige, the yellow, and the translucent yellow, is very difficult to see. And there was some talk yesterday about perhaps we should make it a darker color, a blue. Be careful what you wish for, because if it's much more visible, it will also become more visible in the spinning mill. So there might actually be a lot of pieces that we actually didn't detect because of the color. So if you make it a darker color, it might actually... Yes, it's easier to see in the ginning process, but it's also much easier to see downline. So I just a word of warning there. So really what we're saying is that the automatic detection is becoming, as the gentleman said yesterday, is becoming something that is certainly in the spinning process is something that has to happen. Unfortunately, all detection and removal systems, irrespective if you talk about the ginning, talking the spinning, they are not 100% accurate. They're pretty expensive. And then also listening to a lot of the talk today, there's a lot of seed cotton, there's a lot of cotton that goes out with that as well. You know, what happens to that? Who's going to pay for that? So there's a lot of things that needs to be spoken about on that. The priority, in my opinion, is we have to prevent the plastic wrap from entering the processing stage in the first place. That is number one. The secondary focus should be detection and elimination. The first step is we've got to prevent the plastic entering the process in the first place. And so we have to prevent it from entering the ginning process. That is paramount. And I feel that is really where the attention has to be. And certainly in Australia, that's something that we are very much looking at, because we don't have the resources that you have. We don't have the funding to be able to do the type of research that you do, so we are focusing on prevention is better than cure. And with that, I'd just like to acknowledge the two gins that helped with this work. I'd like to thank Maud and Mark, who were sort of the primary cooperators, and the technical staff. I have to say that I'm actually quite fortunate to still be alive today. Getting the technical staff to wade through kilos and kilos of waste looking for plastic is not a very entertaining job, and specifically when you have to tell them, come on, you know, we've got to get this done, it's a tough job. So I really do appreciate the work that they've done on that. And with that, I thank you. Thank you.
Question?
Yes, there were yarn clearers used, but these yarn clearers didn't have foreign fiber detection. No. If you can see how small that is, you can't pick it up.
You know, I listened to all these presentations today, and we know that we've got plastic problems, and it seems like we're using the shotgun approach to figure out where the problem really is. And we got the data from Klassen offices that can go back to gins and check those gins and find out, is it a producer problem, is it a field location problem, or what the problem is. And it seems like we ought to start looking at that end of it. And I know we'll be exposing some gins, and I may be one of them, but at the same time, I'd like to know. I think, you know, we're looking at the whole big picture, but maybe we could focus down and do more research on what actually is this gin having more plastic problems than another, and is that a producer problem? Is it a picker problem? Is it a gin problem? But it looks to me like that's where the research ought to be found pointed, and maybe we could make a little bit more
headway. That's a good problem. We had these two gins that I just mentioned, who have, they're one of our best gins, and specifically the one was having a lot of problems with plastic contamination. And they actually went back and they found that there were three John Deere pickers that had mechanical problems on them. And so this was causing issues with the wrap and that the gin was encountering. And as I said yesterday, in a lot of instances, and I'm not a ginner, but in a lot of instances, the gins get the flak because that's where it becomes visible. And in a lot of instances, yeah, sure, the gins do contribute, but in a lot of instances, it happens before. And I agree with you that there has to be a focus before as well. I mean, the gins are not, don't get me wrong, the gins are also to blame for a lot of it, but not for all of it. Yeah, so I take your point. Right, thank you.